of a 4-week series. So next week will be obviously the last one, and then we're going into Easter series. Now, something I forgot to mention in announcements is that Jenny and I will be gone on the 10th. And we're working out, or I'm working out, what we're going to do as far as sermon, things like that. And working with the leadership about that. But just want to let you know, doesn't mean that you can't come to church. I'll be getting a report from Bob and everybody, like, you know what, these three people missed since you weren't here. I'm kidding, I won't do that. But we are on week three, and it's unhindered power. You know, and power is one of those words. I don't. It's one of those words that I kind of like, and I kind of don't. You know, when I if I if I'm talking about a muscle car or a truck, it's got power. Yes, or a power tool, and you know, it's like, yes, I just got this new wrench set, and it's like it's a good thing, right? But power is also, when I'm talking about humans or people, it's there's kind of this negative connotation about it. And you know, power is an interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, power all around us, it impacts our lives every single day. You know, yet at the same time, what is it? What is power? You know, how do you accurately measure power? How do you get more power? You know, or can you lose your power? You know, it's just one of those things. It's just interesting. You know, as Christians, you know, what exactly does it mean to live empowered by the Holy Spirit? You know, as we continue the series Unhindered, I'm excited to tackle this idea. And actually, this week's studies has challenged me personally in different ways. You know, I'm excited to tackle this idea of unhindered power, and I'm looking forward to unpacking that and what unhindered power could mean to a believer in Jesus Christ. You know, the same Jesus that commanded the legions of angels and yet humbled himself to the point of death on the cross, his power was a outworldly power, an unbelievable power, and it's something that has never been done before, even seen before. He's the only person that's ever been able to demonstrate that here on earth. I mean, just the power that he has. You know, if you look through Genesis, you find that he, and also in the New Testament supports this, that he was the one that, you know, when we read Genesis in the first 7 days, he was the one that created it. It was through that person of the Trinity that actually created all of this beauty around us. You know, even Napoleon Bonaparte, the great military genius, looking back over his years of conquest, is reported to have said the following: Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have built great empires. But upon what did they depend? They depended on force. But then he goes on and says this. He says, but centuries ago, Jesus started an empire that was built on love. And even to this day, millions die for him. Even the great Napoleon Bonaparte. See, our main power source as Christians is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's really what we're going to talk quite a bit about today, is it's not so much just power, but the work of the Holy Spirit within us. I mean, and there's a lot we can talk about. I can go through a 12 or 15 week sermon series just on the work of the Holy Spirit within the Christian life. In fact, look at John 16, verse 7. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. The advocate, talking about the Holy Spirit. The advocate is just one of the many names that is used to describe the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. I'm going to share a few with you, and if you look at the back of your bulletin, you'll see that I listed the same thing that we're going to go through on the next few slides, and there's also the Bible verses where they're located. Now, this is not by all means an exhaustive list. I have Bible software that I use on a regular basis to prepare my messages and to really study the verses that I'm going to utilize. And one of the Bible software or one of the books within that software, I can type in Holy Spirit and it'll give me every verse that references it. And the list is long. If I was to print it out, it'd probably be a good 5 to 10 pages. I mean, it's long. Some of the, as I said, on the back of that, Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of glory, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of revelation, and one of my favorites, the Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. If it wasn't through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life and your life, who knows where we would be? It's the work of the Holy Spirit that drives us and leads us to different things. Even when we think the Holy Spirit's not presently working in my life, the Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit is maybe not speaking to you in that moment, because the Holy Spirit's letting you go down a certain road to teach you a lesson, to rely back on Him. And I'll explain that another time. The Holy Spirit is a multifunctional, multifaceted wonder that is an imperative component. And I want to emphasize that imperative component to living an empowered and unhindered life in Christ. A little theology on the side here. When we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes within us at that moment. Period. There isn't anything else after that. When it comes to that, you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit fills you. And there's a verse in Scripture that talks about a sealing, and you're sealed for all eternity. That sealing is like an Old Testament, it's Old Testament, but it's also just history of when a king says, there's two kinds of covenants that a king will do. One is conditional. If you do this, as long as you do this, I will do that. As long as you follow me as a king, and as long as you do your job, I will make sure that you're taken care of. But the moment you stop doing that, I'm going to kick you out. And it's a conditional promise, a conditional commitment. But then there's the sealing or the commitment that it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with you. It's because of my love, I'm going to do something. And that kind of royal covenant that happens is, for example, when because of a local king's love for his people, he would give them land and it would be theirs for eternity. It would be theirs forever. And no matter what happens, if they owe taxes, they can do all the local other kings in the future can do things, but the one thing they couldn't do is take their land. They can't do that. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what the word that's described in the New Testament of a sealing. It's a covenant that God has made with his people. So when you accept Christ, you get filled with that and you are now his, out of his love. You have that same, no matter what happens, no matter what struggle you go through, no matter what attitude you have, you could be like, you know what? I hate God right now. I'm so mad at him because I'm hurt and I'm frustrated and all these different things. But that does not mean that you can lose your salvation. That does not mean that you're no longer his. What that means is that you're going through a struggle and the Holy Spirit's going to keep you and protect you and let you go through that struggle, because at the end, you're going to come through it, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to look at three specific areas of the where we see the strength of the Holy Spirit come alive in the church. And through that, we're going to see how that applies in our lives. Living an unhindered life in step with the Holy Spirit means we have strength to share, strength to persevere, and strength to love. So let's take a look at the first one, strength to share. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he left his disciples with a command. So we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 1:8. And it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, as you can see, this was a promise to his followers that they will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and then and that that power to witness to everywhere. And it's quite, you know, interesting, it's important to recognize these names of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jesus was clearly identifying just how far and wide that message would be. He's clearly saying, look, you know, and in the world of that time, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, that was like the known Jewish world. But he doesn't stop there. Then he also says, you know what, in case you're thinking it's just our world here, our region, he adds in to the end of the earth, everywhere. It's unlimited. His command was to evangelize and spread the gospel message all around the world. And to be clear, this is no small task. Think about it. A little band of people, I think when the Holy Spirit came in the upper room, it was around 120 people. So think about 120 people that this happened to, and that's that core group of the disciples and the people around them. The Holy Spirit came, and then, and imagine 120 people going to all of these places, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world. In if that happened to us today, we'd probably think, the whole world, this little Midville Community Baptist Church, the whole world, that would be a hard pill to swallow. That would be, our limited minds would be, you know, there's no way. Okay, we can send $200 maybe a month to some missionary or something, but the whole world, to carry this message to the whole world, that's a huge thing. And many of you know, the gospel isn't always a welcome one, especially during that time, but even our days today. I watched a video last night of a guy just walking around with a video saying, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" And it was just person after person after person after person said, "Nope, walk away." You know, they just blew it off. It's a hostile world. I also saw another video recently that somebody was street preaching. With a little microphone, had the permit, all legal, 100%, just talking about Jesus. And a lady picked up his sign and broke it in half and ran off and shoved it in her car. And people were getting in her face, in his face, screaming into his mic to keep him from sharing the gospel. And all he was doing was preaching love. He wasn't even getting into the hard scripture. He was just saying, you know what? God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. Just a basic gospel presentation, and it's a hostile world for that. And that's currently, but back then it was even worse. Because what did they do to the 12 disciples, or the 12 apostles? Well, 11 out of the 12. John made it to old age. But what did they do to them? Boiled one alive in oil, crucified upside down. They beheaded John the Baptist. There's great hostility and peril in preaching the saving truth of Jesus Christ to others. And in Acts chapter 4, we begin to see how much trouble these early disciples begin to have. And it says, "So they called the apostles back in and commanded them to never speak the truth or speak or teach of the name Jesus Christ." They're trying to stop them. "You guys get back in here. You are never to do this again. You never speak Jesus again." That's what they're communicating here. Sound familiar even in our modern day? It's going around since Jesus was alive. If you look through history, you have the Communist Party and Mao in China that were killing millions. You have just people after people, all these dictators throughout the centuries killing people because they believed in Jesus. This is nothing new. The hostilities that we see today is nothing new. And it says, "But Peter and John replied, 'Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him?'" I love that. It's kind of, I just imagine the sarcasm in there. I bet there's a sarcastic tone. You know, you think about, you know, don't I don't want to hear Jesus' name again. Don't do it, or else. And they turn around, what, do you think, probably with a little smirk, do you think we're, God wants us to follow you or him? I mean, that's kind of a smack in the face. That's sarcastic. I love it. The attitude that was probably there. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. We just can't do it. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. See, this is not a human response. Think about that. Their life is on the line. This is like us going to a federal court and the judge saying, you are not to do this again. And you're facing this powerful entity. You know, I went to court. Jenny and I witnessed a guy drunk driving, and I called it in. It was like 10 o'clock at night. We're driving home. I see this guy swerving, so I called the police department and said, hey, I'm behind a guy who's drunk driving. I think he's drunk driving. He's swerving all over. And this was in Phoenix. And it was kind of interesting because they had the helicopter, they had motorcycle cops. I mean, it was like SWAT team kind of thing. I had literally probably 5 or 6 cop cars show up. And so we followed the guy. He happened to live in our apartment complex that we were at. And I followed the guy in, and I motorcycle cop pulled up, and I'm like, yeah, he's right there. And he told him all this. So we went to court, and it was fine. I testified. Everything was fine. 2 years later, I was living in Virginia now, and I get a phone call, which was weird because I changed my number and address and everything, but they tracked me down. The district attorney said, hey, they appealed it, and they were granted an appeal, and I need you to come back and testify. So I'm like, all right, I really don't remember much. I mean, I've been busy for a couple years. You know, I don't remember all that. And so he flew me out, and I remember standing there in front of the downtown Phoenix courthouse, and I saw this building, and that was the first time I ever been faced with like an anxiety from the power that they had in that building. I had a little, we ate lunch, and I was just sitting there, and I was looking at this building, and I just got a little flutter of anxiety thinking, do you realize how much power is in that building? If I don't speak clearly or correctly in my testimony, I can be in trouble. At least this is what I was thinking, you know, or here I am testifying there. I have, you know, this is going to be the fate of this guy who, you know, it's been a couple years. Maybe he's sober now. I don't know. Maybe this scared him enough that it scared him straight. I don't know. But this courtroom event is powerful. I remember seeing the judge and thinking, wow, they have the power to sentence this guy to 10, I think he was facing 10 or 15 years because it was like his 4th or 5th DUI. It was like a big thing. And that's what the scene here is kind of like that. There's power in there. And then, and I'm sure these apostles are probably thinking, wow, you know, maybe on their human side, there might be a little nervousness. But look at the response. Do you want us to be you or him? Maybe they weren't laughing. I don't know. But that's my imagination. But that power, they're faced with this power, but yet they responded in, you're not going to stop us. That's a Holy Spirit. That was a powerful moment in that scene. There's a powerful thing going on. That's not a human response. God gave them the strength to share the gospel, and that's what it looks like right there. The Holy Spirit gave them the strength to just share. And no matter what the consequences, they trusted God in that moment, said, okay. And they responded, you're not going to stop me. How many times do we get stopped from doing something, even just pressures that were around us? The Holy Spirit will give us a strength that we need to go through those situations of sharing the gospel, of ministering to somebody, going to somebody's house and praying the whole way there. God, open up an opportunity for me to share your love with them. And you're nervous, but then the moment you get there, it just calm. I've shared the story. My first sermon, ran away from preaching for like 10 years, went to school, all these things. Nope, not going to preach. Finally, I surrendered because God was not letting me do any kind of ministry. And I just was fed up with him. I was mad at him. And I'm fine, like a little child. Fine, I'll do it. flew out to Wisconsin to a little barn out in the middle of nowhere that it was a cowboy church out there. And I sat there and I was like, fine, I'll do it. Got a call a week or so later, flew out and went up there and preached. I actually ended up preaching three times that week. But my first one on Sunday morning, I had no fear. None. And every time I preach, no matter what happens before I preach, no matter how nervous I am about my message or anything, when I get up here, God gives me the power to communicate effectively. This is not me and my smarts of how to write a sermon. This is God leading me through this and giving me the strength to do this. And you can do the same with the work of the Holy Spirit. Take a look at this. These ordinary men were able to do extraordinary things because the Holy Spirit in them. And the crazy part is that this is the same Spirit that enabled Peter and John to also the same Spirit that enabled them to do that is the same Spirit enabling us, enabling you and I to have that courage and have that strength. We've been given that same power that they had. Yes, they were called to a specific ministry at a specific time in history to do specific things, but it's the same Spirit working. And what is that Spirit doing? Growing the kingdom of God. Bringing as many people as possible to God, to Christ. For what reason? To bring them all together, so give them an opportunity to go to heaven, so then, and eventually, all that's going to stop, and he's going to close the doors, and we're going to get a new heaven, a new earth. But until then, that's what his goal is. That's his mission. When we think about mission, church mission statements, or what's the mission of the church, it's simple. Bring as many people to Christ as possible. Well, how do we do that? In any means we can, whatever this community needs. It could be serving the community. It could be doing servant evangelism. It could be Bibles at the diner. It could be doing men's conferences or women's conferences just to attract people to share the gospel. Or it could be driving down the street and you see a flat tire and you pull over and you help them fix it. It could be anything, whatever works. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads, that's our mission. And because that's the same Spirit, we also have the power to stare down persecution, humiliation, and anything else the enemy may use to discourage us from telling others about Jesus. So when we're getting pushed back, and that's one of the reasons why I like those street preachers. That's not my personal calling in life, but when I watch them, and I do watch them online a lot, I like listening to them and watching them because it just gives me more encouragement because that street preacher, the Holy Spirit's working in him. It's the same Spirit that works in me, just in different paths. Will it be easy? No. Will we have difficulties? Yeah. But just like the disciples we read about in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit will also give us that strength to persevere as we seek to answer the call Christ has in our lives. And I think, and it breaks my heart, I think so many times we hinder ourselves and we stifle the Holy Spirit when we don't rely on Him. When the Holy Spirit's working, and something that Jenny and I went through earlier in our Christian walk together, as I was learning about the work of the Holy Spirit, we both agreed that when the Spirit talks, we walk. We go. We do it. No matter when the Holy Spirit, there's been times that Jenny can share with you where she went through a McDonald's. I was thinking about the homeless lady and the kids. Went through McDonald's and something was just on her heart. Was it that she came up to you asking? And she chatted with them. You chatted with them a little bit afterwards, right? Yeah. But that was God pulling on her heart. Also, another time, Jenny came home. She goes, I feel like I need to talk to my sister. Not because Jenny had something to get off her chest or something to share with, but there was a burden. There was something there that she needed to call her sister. Jenny called her sister, and her sister started crying. That's happened a few times. That's obedience to the Holy Spirit. And God will give us the strength and the words and the wisdom at the moment that we need it. It's not that our wisdom, and we don't need to worry about having a plan of what to say or when to say it or how to say it. You know, the Romans road to salvation is a great tool, but I only use that if I don't know where to start. But most of the time, I'll get through one or two of those, and the Holy Spirit's leading me in a whole nother conversation, and I'm sharing the gospel. That's how it works. God will give you the wisdom during that time, and it will be difficult, and it will be strange, but when you're obedient, he will give you the strength to do it. And it's so amazing to have that happen. And not only the strength, but he'll give you, or not only the strength to share, but also the strength to persevere. No doubt you've heard people heard this phrase, you know, that we gain strength through in perseverance through trials. You know, we go through trials and God is using it. I've said this so many times in this church. As we go through trials, God will use that to grow you and disciple you to a greater understanding of Christ. And he'll mature you. Spiritual maturity. I've said that 100 times at least. And we've all heard that. But you know what? There's also there's the value of courage and persistence and perseverance has rarely been illustrated more convincing than the story of this man that I'm going to share with. And I want you to guess at the end who it is. So this person failed in business at age 22, ran for legislature, and failed at 23. Failed again in business at 24, elected to legislature at 25. His sweetheart died at 26, had a nervous breakdown at 27, defeated for speaker at 29, defeated for elector at 31. Defeated for Congress at 34, elected to Congress at 37, and then defeated for Congress at 39. Defeated for Senate at 49. Defeated for Vice President at 47. Defeated for Senate at age 49. Elected President at age 51. Who is he? You are. Can we get her a brownie or Abraham Lincoln? Everyone suffers at some point or another. Everyone experiences pain, hardships, and adversity. Everyone has trauma. No one is exempt and no one gets a free pass. And if we have the time today, we could go around the room and swap stories and share all the different things, the suffering and pain and disappointments and trauma and loss, and we've all gone through it. I'd bet if we swap stories like the one we just shared with Abraham Lincoln, and we shared about the seasons that God sustained us and the ways that he had given us strength to persevere. The truth is that there are seasons that we feel like we don't have the capacity to walk through, and we need help. We need help. We can feel hindered and stunted and discouraged in life. And when that happens, and we don't have Christ in our lives, what do? Wallow in our self-pity or go home with a bottle of liquor and cry ourselves to sleep? Get angry at people? You know, let it come out in anger? There's all kinds of emotions. My day job, I work Monday through Friday helping people with those problems every single day. There's all these things that happen to us, and how do we deal with it? By this Holy Spirit, we can experience unhindered access to divine power, strengthening and the ability to persevere through any situation we face. Any. Take a look at 2 Corinthians. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He will give us the strength to share the gospel. He will give us the strength to go through those difficult times. We will persevere through those with the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can tap into that power by talking with the Holy Spirit and asking. He wants us to rely on him. And sometimes when we have those moments where we're like, oh, what do I do? Maybe we need to stop and slow down and say, Holy Spirit, help me through this. I need your power to help me through this. You know, we don't rely on the Holy Power to give us riches and all these material wealth. We rely on the Holy Spirit to help us become more Christ-like. And provide that comfort. Remember those on the back of your bulletin, all those things that are listed there? That's just a short list. But when you need something, when you need comfort, you call the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me through this. When you need strength to persevere through something, ask the Holy Spirit to help you through it. God wants that communication. He wants you to rely on him. He wants you to be 100% reliant on him. And so we call out and ask for help, and he will give you that strength to persevere, to share the gospel, and finally, he'll give you the strength to love, to achieve that inner spiritual transformation we need. We need an advocate. We need a guide. We need a companion to lead the way. We need the unhindered power of the Holy Spirit, which God has graciously given to us already. We need that. Martin Luther King, in his book, Strength to Love, addresses this issue very well. Take a look at this. It says, only through the inner spiritual transformation do we gain the strength to fight vigorously the evils of the world in a humble and loving spirit. That's a great quote. That should be printed out and put in a frame. He understood that. And if anybody remembers Martin Luther King or remembers or read any of his quotes, any of those things, know about him, amazing, humble man. Matthew 5:44, Jesus tells his disciples to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Ooh, that's a tall order. I mean, think about it. That one family member, come on, we all have one. That one family member that's just, you just don't want to go to family reunions if they're there. You know, that one person that just drives you nuts. And you talk to yourself and you say, you know, I really love them, but I just don't like their behavior. But really, they just irritate you. You know, this seems like such an impossible command. In our human mess, not humanness, our human mess, you know, it seems incomprehensible how a person can love an enemy and pray for those who are persecuting them. Can you imagine that? I mean, for us, We're not out in other countries where we're literally being persecuted by people that want to cut off our heads. We're not. We're in this great country where we can come together anytime. We're not faced with that kind of persecution. Or down in South America where the rebels, the RFA, I think it is, the rebels down there in South America that are trying to conquer or take over the government and things like that. And they're going out and they're killing banana workers and field workers and all kinds of stuff. We're not faced with that kind of persecution. But in Christ, we're new creation. And when we do run across those people that just irritate us, or we're persecuted, or you know, like the street preacher I was talking about earlier, who the lady's just going berserk over him and yelling and screaming at him. I've seen them where they take a whistle and they blow it in the people's face and ear to try to shut them up. I mean, there's so much ridiculousness out there. And when we see those difficulties and when we find those moments, it just seems impossible to love them. Our humanness, our human mess is hard. Let's be truthful here. It's difficult. When somebody wants to hurt you or your family because you're a Christian, that is hard to swallow. The only way we're going to be able to love our enemy and love people that are persecuting us is through the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way we can love them on our human level. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit that gives us that love. It's through His work in our lives that says, hey, you know what? I know that you don't like this person. I know that you're angry. I know, but I want you to love them. And that's a power so much greater than ourselves that there's no way we can normally do that on our own. In Christ, we have that eternal hope that impacts our temporal lives. In Christ, we have a driving power, a driving strength, and an ability to be able to do the impossible things like loving our enemies. Loving that coworker or that neighbor. And just being like, yeah, ooh, they irritate me, but you know what? I need to love them like Jesus says here. I need to love them. I need your help. I need your help to love them because I really don't. And that honesty is important because God already knows all of that. And that's the thing that still always cracks me up about myself is I talk to God as if He doesn't know. Anybody ever do that? Yeah. But you know what? God already knows these things. He knows all about you. But yet I sit there, well, God, I think I might have a problem with this neighbor. And He's probably going, no kidding. I know, but you got to ask for help here. I want you to rely on me. I want you to come to me because it teaches you to rely on me more and more and more. And the more you rely on me, the more I can help you and the more willingness and humility you have with that, and the more I can push you toward more Christ-like. Just like a child, I have teenage boys, right? The more they rely on me and they say, Dad, hey, you know what? You're a little older than me. I need your advice. The more they do that, the more I can give them advice, right? I'm always their dad. I'm always here for them. I love them. All of that doesn't change. But the more they come to me and ask me for advice, ask me for help, the more I can teach them, the more willing they are to learn and listen. And they say, Dad, I have a problem. What do I do here? Yes, I'm not saying you don't do this. Okay, you do. But the more, that's just a relationship of things. The same thing goes for our relationship. The more we rely on each other and we ask and say, hey, you know, what? You know, I need some advice here. Some of you folks know certain things that are, you know, more about it than I do, especially about cows. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I know nothing about cows. I thought they were pretty smart. Apparently they're not. So relying on that. That example is the same thing what God wants. He wants us to talk to Him. And when we do those things, we're able, He will give us that power to love our enemies. He'll give us the power and the wisdom to do those things and reach out to that neighbor, to be able to walk in and into a room of hostility and just have peace. You know, I still don't, I've preached in small groups and I've preached in hundreds and I never get nervous anymore. Before I surrendered to God, this is no joke, I was asked to do a Wednesday night Bible study in front of 50 people. I had so much anxiety that Jenny was with me. I was in the hallway. There was a hallway just outside of the sanctuary. I was in the hallway, like sweating, and I felt like I was going to vomit, and I ran to the bathroom like 3 times. I was so nervous. So nervous. And I was nervous through the whole thing. The moment I surrendered and said, God, oh, fine, I'm yours. The moment that happened, I've never been nervous again. And it's gotten to the point where it applies to my other areas in life too. As I teach in therapy groups or I teach in Bible studies, or I go meet a new client, whether it's a patient in hospice or one of my clients at the new job, I don't get nervous. I have no fear of any of those things. Why? Not because I've done something different, because the Holy Spirit worked within me. We're going to watch this small video of an example of this.
About 2 years ago, I caught my dad cheating on my mom. Eventually down the line, my dad picked the other woman that he cheated on my mom with over her. My dad told me how he didn't want me as a kid anymore and that he didn't want to be my dad anymore. And I just had all this hate and anger towards him, where I promised myself that I would never see him anymore in my life and I wouldn't have a relationship with him. I just bottled everything up in and I didn't have a good appearance of myself. I didn't think that I was lovable. I didn't think I was pretty. I didn't think that I was capable of doing good things in my life. There was just a lot of dysfunctional families around me, so I never really knew what real like love looked like. In my house, we didn't go to church very often. So whenever I was thinking about God and like, if he's this almighty, wonderful person, why would he allow bad things to happen to good people? I got involved in Young Life by hearing about camp, and a few of my friends were going, and I thought it sounded pretty fun, and so I decided to go. I was at camp. I had a lot of questions and doubts because I wasn't a believer at the time. I sat down with my leaders, and they just sat with me and answered any questions that I needed answered to go and move on. I found faith, and I found God, and he's just changed my worlds in more ways than ever. I learned through God how to love. Like, I love myself and I know that I'm capable of loving others. And I can feel love from people now. And before, I really couldn't. Before, I used to go out and drink and do drugs. And now I don't even find an interest in any of that. I now have a relationship with my dad that I wouldn't trade for anything in the entire world. And that's because of God, because he's taught me how to forgive. And now I'm also a wildlife leader where we get to teach kids about the gospel and our loving Savior. Never even thought I could believe in God. And here I am, like, sharing the gospel with a bunch of middle schoolers, which is more than I could ever ask for. I learned everything about Jesus from Young Life. Right now, I meet with one of my Young Life leaders every single Monday, and we have a one-to-one discipleship where we just sit down and learn about our amazing Savior. The importance of my Young Life leaders is, I don't even think there's a word for how important they are into my life, just because they're the ones that brought me to God. Like, God is literally my everything in my life. He's my father and he's my best friend. And they're the ones that led me to him. And so I am so thankful for them in my life in every way.
The key point of this is in that video is what? The forgiveness of her father. That anger. She probably might not have ever done that without the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of Christ in our lives. The Holy Spirit is a gift freely given to us by God for those who believe. It's a gift. Take a look at John chapter 14. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you," referring to the Holy Spirit. In this passage, Jesus is promising the work of, or the Holy Spirit will be given to all his disciples, and it's as a gift to help them and guide them. The Old Testament, the Spirit only showed up at certain times and special occasions and specific people and specific events to do God's bidding at certain moments throughout history. People were not filled with the Holy Spirit permanently. They were filled only for certain times. But now, through Christ, the Spirit isn't hindered by time or season or events. The Holy Spirit is available to all who believe. And through the experience, or through the Holy Spirit, we can experience that divine power and strength and ability to walk this Christian walk. And to be able to face these things like being hurt by people, and face these things by stress and events going on. As life is like a hurricane or tornado, and the way the world is, it's just wild and crazy and windy, and all these things in the air getting thrown at you. That's the way the world works. We have an enemy that is after us, and he wants to destroy us, and that twirling and all that craziness going around, the Holy Spirit slows us down. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength and power to go down to the ground and stand in the center of the eye without being hurt or anything. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And we can stand there and look around at all this craziness that's going around us in the middle of this tornado, and that's the world going around us, but we feel peace and strength, and we have the ability to survive it. And if we don't survive it, if we do get hit by a truck or something, guess where we go? Straight to heaven. So the people around us are left without you, but if they have the work of the Holy Spirit, guess what they get? They get the comfort and peace and the love that comes from God. See, no matter what happens in this life, if the Holy Spirit can and will and is willing and wanting to work in your life and give you this strength to love, to persevere, to share. Where would you like to experience more of the unhindered power, strength, and ability of the Spirit in your life? This is for you to reflect on. What area of your life do you need that help? Is it maybe sharing the gospel with others? Maybe persevering through difficult times and situations? Or maybe it's to love the unlovable. Where is it that you need help? And I wanted to, as we finish up, as we close in, I want to share with you, and I want you to meditate on this as we do our final song and throughout the rest of the week. I pretty much know that we all know this verse, Philippians 4:13. It's on every mug and every Christian bookstore. I can do all things through him, meaning I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I did not put this up on the screen. I should have, but here's the Amplified Bible version. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. And then in parentheses, it says, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. We all need help. We all go through those times. We all need something, and relying on the Holy Spirit will bless you in so many ways when we acknowledge him, we ask him for help, and yes, we pray to the Father in Christ's name, and Jesus has already done his work, but the Holy Spirit is the one that's still doing things on this earth, and it's okay to call him out by name. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, but Holy Spirit, I need you to help me here. Because it's 3-in-1. Triune God. So I hope, and my prayers for you is that you will become Spirit-filled in the sense of you already have the Holy Spirit in there. The Holy Spirit's still in every single believer in this room. But to tap into that power. Not so you can, be like a Hulk or She-Hulk, but to stand firm in your faith and be able to go through those things that come in your way every single day. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for everything, Lord, and thank you specifically for the Holy Spirit being sent down to us as our helper, our advocate, our comforter, Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit to us and dwelling within us so we can have the strength to go through these life's challenges. When we're attacked by the enemy, we have the Holy Spirit protecting us and giving us the strength to withstand those attacks. When we feel guilty or feel an anxiety or we're going down the wrong path, the Holy Spirit will convict us to get us on the right road. When we have fears of sharing the gospel or to do things for God, and we get nervous, the Holy Spirit will give us this comfort. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for being in our lives and sealing us for all eternity. And we love you, Lord. We praise you. And I ask for the Holy Spirit to continue to work in each and every one of our lives. Reveal yourself to all of us and encourage us to rely more on you. We want to be more like Christ. So we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to do that, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Thank you so much for this time as we come together as a church and as we worship this final song. I ask you to help us worship in spirit and just praise you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to, if you want to rise, this is a song. I'm gonna mention this for a second. It's called I Can Only Imagine. Does anybody know that song? Mercy Me. It is a great movie about it called I Can Only Imagine. But it is one of the most amazing songs I've ever read, like as you read the lyrics. And so I hope you just pour your heart out to the Spirit and just ask the Holy Spirit to just be with you and the presence be here today. Please watch this.